Hey, you guys, Brock Cannon here. Welcome to the Brock Cannon Podcast. And I just wanted to introduce this episode. This was really a special one for me. This is a longtime friend, a guy by the name of Joshua Sprague. In fact, we didn't really even talk about this on the podcast, but Joshua has a book consulting agency, and he's actually the mastermind that helped me to launch my first book, The Switchback Approach, which hit the bestseller list on Amazon. The guy is a genius. He knows how to promote. He knows how to market. And best of all, he just knows how to like help people stop thinking too deeply about dumb shit that gets in their way. And so on this episode, we go into a lot of stuff. We talk a lot about spirituality and some of the practices that he's found over the last couple of years that have really helped him. And then we transition a bit into entrepreneurship, which I think all of you will find fascinating. And we talk a lot about things that the average person can start to do. So you guys are in for a huge treat. Without any further ado, enjoy the show.
Hello.
All right, we figured it out. Welcome to the podcast, Joshua. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, dude, I can hear you great. Stoked to be here.
All right. So everyone, you are in for a huge treat today. I have known Joshua Sprague for, what are we going on? Like maybe 6 years or so at this point, maybe longer. I don't even know. But Joshua, it does fly. Joshua is someone that I have immensely admired for many years. We did some consulting together, traveled a lot before. We're going to get into that story a little bit today. Because it was pretty wild and impacted both of our lives in a significant way. But I don't even know where to start. Like, Joshua is just, first of all, like a kind, genuine, awesome human being, first and foremost. He's an amazing husband. He's a father to be. We'll get into that as well. And he's just a serial kick-ass entrepreneur and just a guy that lives with passion every day. And if you guys have followed his content, or if you start after this podcast, you'll see that come through on every single post, every piece of content that he puts out. Just legit and amazing human being. So, Joshua, thanks for joining us, man. I just really appreciate it.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate the kind words. I do, man.
So, Joshua, I always like to just kind of give a little background on you first. I would love to just kind of hear and have you tell our listeners where you grew up. What was your upbringing like, family life? And then we'll kind of take it from there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm a prairie boy. So I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, grew up there. And, you know, I am the middle child out of two sisters. So I guess I got sandwiched with like, you know, a lot of femininity, but a lot of that, you know, protect your sister's vibe right in the middle. So that was me growing up in Oklahoma, you know, definitely a conservative place to grow up, which was awesome. It was good. You know, grounded me a lot in terms of just my own spirituality and, you know, was an awesome place to be. I haven't lived there for forever now, since I think I was 18. But I was, you know, I was a punk rock kid, skater kid. I started my first business when I was 16 and, I don't know, got in my fair share of trouble, I guess, like most people do. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I grew up and I've kind of lived all over the place, to be honest, man. So I'm a dual citizen of US and Canada. And, after I went off to college, which was in St. Louis area, I kind of fell in love with the mountains, cause I didn't grow up with those in Oklahoma. And, you know, started kind of a lifelong love of the mountains, lived in Colorado, Utah for a little while, Canada for a long time, South America. So yeah, it's been a wild adventure. And now here we are again in California, in LA. So
where did you go right after? So you left Oklahoma, you went to college, and then where was kind of your first mountain destination? Like, where did you go first?
Yeah. So, well, actually what happened was when I was in college, I had an opportunity to study abroad, which was really, really cool. I was actually supposed to go to Nepal and last minute, because of like the violence and stuff like that that was going on at the time over there, that abroad got switched to Peru.
Okay.
And so ended up going down there, and you know, it didn't have anything to do with what I was studying, because I went to a liberal arts school. So I have degrees in or have a degree in religious studies, and then a minor in theater. So everybody jokes that I should be like a televangelist or something, but you know, that didn't really work out. But anyway, I went down to Peru to study what do they call it? Mountain ethnology, right? Which is basically like the culture of mountains. And being a prairie boy and only having, you know, been to the mountains and skied, you know, a few times in my life up to that point, I was just in love, man. I just fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with the people. You know, I love this, the Latin vibe there, you know, learning Spanish and eating all the good food. And we were climbing volcanoes and stuff like that down there. It was crazy fun. So I was like, whoa, totally new world.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I bet that was a huge shock, culturally, an incredible experience. And then from there, did you go right to Canada? I know you, well, tell me the rest. Where did you go from there?
Yeah. So from there, you know, after I graduated, I actually moved back to South America again, because I loved it so much. And so I lived down there for maybe like 5 months or something like that. And also went down to Chile and Argentina and the Patagonia area, because I'd always wanted to go there. And then I came back to the States and I moved to Colorado and was living there, teaching outdoor education for a while. I'd kind of gotten away from the entrepreneurial thing for a little while there, but just like pursuing rock climbing and backpacking and like guiding people through the mountains there and getting into skiing and all that kind of stuff. And then shortly after that, I ended up moving to Canada. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So if you kind of look back on your experience in South America, what was maybe the biggest lesson or thing you learned from the culture down there? When, you know, how did, what was like your biggest impact from just spending time down there?
You know, the first time I went there was so eye-opening and sobering in a lot of ways. You know, I think when you're in your college age, at least for me, you have a lot of idealism, right? You have a lot of strong ideas about how the world is supposed to look, the rights and the wrongs, the blacks and the whites, right? And then when I went down there, and you know, there's some serious poverty down there for sure. I was kind of confronted with this grayness that I hadn't really experienced to that degree in my life. And one of the things that I just have always been passionate about, probably since then, is going and seeing other people and other cultures. And I think that's sexy to do internationally for sure. You know, it's fun to go to South America or Asia or Europe, and you know, I'm blessed to have done those things. But I think there's a tremendous amount of that diversity, like within our own backyard too, right? I've been to like, I think 44 out of 50 states, and I think, I don't know, not all, but a good three quarter of the provinces in Canada. And it's so interesting, like when you go to each state or each place, like you realize why people think the way that they think, and that the way that you think isn't the only way that the world can operate. And I think that's a good thing, because it confronts you with questioning basically your own ideas and the things that you think about, right? And to me, that's one of the best gifts that you can possibly get, is to be confronted with not knowing something that you thought you knew. I don't know if that makes sense, but if I were to sum it up, I guess that's the golden gift for me. Of course, I love the people down there, and the food is freaking fantastic. It's amazing. And the Andes Mountains are just so incredible. The whole, you know, the whole Peruvian vibe is absolutely incredible. But I think, you know, when you travel more, you see how we're all connected, but at the same time, we all have a lot to learn from each other.
Oh, 100%. And you make such a great point about there being so much just to explore in our own backyard, you know, right even here in North America. And it's crazy to me, and I know you see it too, because you get out of the city like myself, and you literally can go, like, you know, you think, okay, California is like 100% liberals, like a bunch of hippies. Everyone has the same mentality. And then you can like literally drive over the mountains to an obscure town in the desert or something. And it's like a completely different mindset. It's like conservative or, you know, it's just, it's the same state, but like a completely different mentality. Which, you know, and I think you're right. Like what a gift to be able to be put in situations where you can kind of be forced to think a little differently and at least seek to understand someone else's perspective. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, I think honestly, like that's one of the biggest things that I've learned over the years, because, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, which is, you know, very conservative place. Again, I think that's a blessing and a gift to me to have had that. But there's traps in that too, in that you begin to think the world only operates in one way, right? Yeah. And that you never really question it to the degree that you could. And you realize, you know what? There's like billions of other people that have different beliefs that they believe in just as strongly as I did when they were growing up, or even right. to this day. And that grayness, I think, is really beautiful. And I think it's a really amazing place to begin to play in, especially when you realize that most of these things that we adopt right now are made up in a way, right? Like they're not all absolute. And I thank my parents actually immensely for the fact that they did always kind of encourage me to try the things that I was excited about, you know, even if they didn't necessarily agree with them. I think that's a beautiful gift to give someone, in that having a space, I guess, just to say, hey, like, I'm not sure if I agree with that or not, and figuring it out for yourself.
Yeah, that's huge. And I know you've had really a tremendous spiritual progression over the years. You've found what works for you. Did you grow up religious in Oklahoma, like stereotypical yeah. like Christian home, or like what was your upbringing religiously?
Yeah, so I grew up in actually kind of alternative religion. Well, not alternative, but it was a Christian religion. It's called Christian Science, and it's not Scientology. Everybody thinks it's Scientology. It's not at all. They're nothing alike. But that's the religion that I grew up in. And I actually had a lot of people that thought that, you know, because I wasn't their form of Christianity, that, you know, I was going to hell and all these other kind of things. And so I didn't particularly care for that when I was growing up. But it also taught me early on to kind of have a tough skin about looking at what do you believe in? Why do you believe what you do? And then choosing that because of the environment I was in anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, that's huge. Like my wife grew, if you can imagine this, like my wife grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, not Christian, like mother was Jewish, father was Catholic. Like the amount of times like she had school kids tell her she was going to hell is like in the dozens.
You know? Oh, yeah. I get
like, right. Like yeah, that's really a unique situation. Like I bet it really forced you to look internally.
Yeah, you know, it's a interesting thing when it happens, especially when you're going through like your teenage years and stuff like that. It definitely made me wonder if I was right or wrong, right? So you have some self-doubts that go along with that, because you have your family environment, but then you have, you know, societal pressure, right, that's going on. But at the end of the day, I look at it as like a really, really beautiful thing, because it made me I guess just confront that stuff and figure out what I believed, which then led me to the next level of figuring out what I believed. And honestly, I think it's always something that is evolving. Like, seriously, dude, I even like can't wrap my head around sometimes, you know, where I was a year or two ago and what I think right now. That's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down, but.
Well, let's go down it for just a sec, because I mean, we're going to get into business and entrepreneurship, which I know you and I both could talk about for 3 hours, but I really noticed, at least just from a distance, your kind of progression spiritually, and, you know, it comes through and you seem even a little more centered than when I spent time with you a few years back. So like, what are some of the maybe practices or I guess evolutionary things that have happened in the last couple of years, and you know, what has really helped you feel centered and just more happy, I guess, in that regard?
Yeah, for sure. So I think a big thing is that I have always been somebody who's been, I mean, I guess I'm an intellect in a way, right? I love to read, I love ideas, I love thinking about things. And so I feel in a lot of ways, my spirituality and the way that I treated myself or the practices that I had were very mental in origin, right? So it was like, okay, control my thoughts, control my focus, you know, put my mind towards this. Connecting with God and with spirit was very much in a more mental way, I guess I would say. And it was crazy. I remember I went to this event, actually a super, super private, small event about almost a year ago. And it was probably one of the single most powerful things I've ever been to in my life. And oddly enough, like the event was about business and money and, you know, the creation of those things, but almost everything that we did was not like tactical or strategic there. And there was like this exercise, I guess, that we did. And it was like probably 2-3 hours of this deep, deep breath work and meditation with drumming that happened during it, right? And I mean, going into this thing, I felt like, okay, everybody else is like these hippie entrepreneurs, and here I am over here doing my thing. You know, I got my shit together. I don't know if I can cuss on your thing, but that's how I talk.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, all right.
Unlimited.
Cool. But I went in with an open mind, right? I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm feeling drawn here. I need to come to this thing, even though I definitely feel like I'm the outsider here, right?
Right.
And so we go into this experience, right? And it was the craziest thing that started to happen to me, where the deeper we got into this breath work and in this meditation, literally I felt my entire body begin to activate. And it's really hard to describe because I've never had that experience. Well, I had never up to that point in my life had that experience, nor even known that that was something that a human could experience. But it literally felt as if every cell in my body was like shaking and vibrating and waking up. And there was a tremendous amount of like emotion, both, I guess, you know, good and bad emotion that came out during that. And it was almost an ecstatic experience in a way. And there was, I don't know, honestly, it was so powerful for me because I realized that I had been so focused only on the mind that I had neglected all of this wisdom that was also in my body.
Yeah.
And I knew that because I'm a really active person. You know, I knew that in the sense of like, I go to the mountains and I climb mountains and I ski mountains and I get so much joy out of moving my body. And I always work out all the time. But this was different. This was like, there was spiritual downloads basically that came to me in this state, right? Mm-hmm. There was like wisdom that was locked in my body here that I just had not become aware of. And when that happened, honestly, I feel like almost everything in my mind shifted then, where I was like, oh, I've only been paying attention to one part of this. Mm. I've been only accessing spirit through my mind. I've only been accessing this conversation with God through my mind or through silence and meditation and things like this. But you know what? I can actually do this and go deeper and get different insights if I also use my physicality, if I use my body, if I use the breath, which to me is actually one of the most powerful. When you think about it, the root word of spirit is or inspiration, spirit, whatever, that comes from the word breath, and spiritus, to breathe, right? So this is a portal. This is like a gateway to these higher realms of consciousness. And it blew my mind when I went down that route, and I was like, holy cow. And then I did all this research and I found out, you know, kind of the backstory of how that works and why that works. And it's really powerful, but I mean, that's the short of it. That flipped the switch a year ago.
Well, you said something that really hit. I think I want to pause and kind of have our listeners really, really think about this point for a second, because there's, I don't know if you've seen it, Joshua, and I don't know if any of the listeners have seen it, but there's a newer, I think it's brand new, but I could be off. It's a newer documentary on Netflix around intuition. Have you seen that by chance?
I have not. Do you remember what it's called? I think I might have seen it scrolling through.
Yeah, it's like an Icelandic word. Hold on, I'm going to tell you guys. But it's fascinating. And hold on. I'm just going to look this up. Well, whatever. I'll have it in the show notes. I'll find it before we end. But it was so fascinating. It's basically like they're scientifically proving now that when we tap into intuition, those feelings, those nudges, those things that we get, we're accessing a completely different part of the brain that normally we do not. And we're so like data driven and fact driven that we're losing a lot of opportunities. And so when you just said like, hey, I feel like I was kind of opened up to this whole new realm, made me kind of think of that. And I would definitely recommend the documentary as well, anyone that wants to see it. But
I think that stuff happens too in education. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody about that the other day, where it's unfortunate that, you know, not to go too far off the path, but with our education system even, right, it's like we're really only taught this kind of cognitive, I guess, awareness, right? This knowledge and facts and figures that we learn in school, which is great. Like that's one avenue of learning. But I can't remember exactly what all the modalities were, but I feel like there's like 8 or 9 different, you know, modalities or types of learning, right? And they're not that way, right? So if you don't fit into that bucket, and if there's that many, right, if there's like 9 or 10 of them,
right,
obviously the whole is not going to fit into, you know, this one method, right? And you know, other things like sound and art and movement and all these other things, right? Organization. I can't remember what all of them are, but I think spirituality and religion and, you know, this spiritual side of us also, it's easy to get kind of trapped into this one thing of, right, oh, it's my meditation this way, or it's me reading this kind of stuff. Well, there's freaking a million different types of meditation. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ways to pray, and there's a lot of ways to connect and get active. I don't know, side note there, but.
No, and I completely agree. So, you know, for people, and I don't know, I think we're really in an interesting era where I think, I don't know, like you just see more and more people every year kind of like, I guess, leaving, I don't know how else to put it, like leaving the path of organized religion. Like, I know at least I've seen that from my upbringing, and people just seeking different spiritual practices. And so for you, like, for someone that out there that's listening is like, I'm open, like I'm finally at this point where I want to explore some different things. What have been some of those key practices that have just been game changer for you? I know you mentioned meditation. I know you spend a ton of time in nature. You ski. Talk to us about kind of what are some of those like next level practices for you?
Yeah. So I think breath work is one of the best things, honestly, because it just basically resets your body. And it is such a centering thing. You can do it quickly, or you can do it for a really, really, really long time if you want to go crazy deep and have, you know, a near transcendental experience if you want. Two resources, I guess, are two people that I would maybe recommend looking towards for that. So you probably heard of Wim Hof. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yes.
You know, he has a style of breathing that I really, really enjoy. And I do that. I do his breath work quite regularly, along with the cold showers, just because they're good for you to show your mind that your mind is not the boss.
Yes.
And your body, you know. But Wim Hof breath work for sure. I have my own like variations on it that I've kind of been playing with and creating. Another one, though, that I would recommend doing for people that are like really, really want to go deep, or maybe are looking for other, I guess, just healing practices that can help them just release some things or get new clarity, is something called holotropic breath work. Are you familiar with that? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So it's really, really, really powerful. And I ended up realizing, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or something like that, that I believe that this event that I went to, that meditation type thing that they did, was definitely like a holotropic breathwork type thing.
Yeah.
although there's a specific breathing pattern when it comes to holotropic breath work. And typically, I do recommend that you would go and do like a session with that. You know, they do group classes for it, or they have, I don't know, just small groups out there. Like they do these sound bath breath work session things here in LA, which are pretty cool. You should come down sometime. I'll take you to it. But they're extremely, extremely powerful. You know, I mean, you can begin to see things. A lot of stuff comes up. I feel like it's actually really freaking good for men. I went to this class here recently on it in LA, and I just do it by myself most of the time, right? And I was like, no, I should go to do this. And I thought it was going to be, you know, like sometimes when you go to these hippy dippy things, right? It's
right.
Mostly women. Let's just keep it real, you know?
Yeah.
And which is unfortunate, because these are just more tools that men can use to access all of themselves, right?
Right.
Or but anyway, I walked in and it was all men, and I was like so stoked, because it's just kind of rare to go to something like that, you know, where it's all dudes, and the intensity of it, like the primalness of it, was just really beautiful and really powerful to have that many men, like, just, you know, committing to this breath work. And just, there's so much healing that goes on in that, especially I feel for men who don't necessarily always have an avenue to, or don't know necessarily how to articulate what's going on inside, right? But the 100%. Breath will just bypass how to do that, and it just gets it out of you. So it's so, so, so powerful in just helping move some of that stuff through you and help you get clarity, instead of trying to like diagnose and think about, well, why is this not my childhood this, or, you know, why did God do this to me? And da, da, da. It's just like, boom, you're hit with the breath, and what comes up needs to come up, you know? It's powerful.
That's incredible. And I'm so glad you brought this up, because this has been on my mind a ton as well. I've seen some content you put out around it, and that's, for those listening, honestly, I can say, like, one of the first times I met you, I realized you were a man that was in touch with his emotions, and like not too cool for school to like talk about that. And I think that's really valuable. And I mean, we both know, you know, Lewis House just came out with that book, The Mask of Masculinity, and it's starting to get talked about more. But like, how do you feel like men could, I guess, up their game with, you know, being able to talk about stuff? And we're wired differently than women, obviously. And, you know, we're kind of taught to hold things in and not like share stuff with other dudes. But like, how has that journey kind of progressed for you? And how did you get comfortable talking more with other men about feelings and shit that we don't normally talk about?
Yeah. You know, I honestly, it's something I've definitely struggled with still, and I'm very much still working on it. I have, just like a lot of men, I have big old walls that come up when it's too close, right? Or when I'm not ready to go to that space of kind of vulnerability. But one of the things that I will say, I do think is important, and I'm personally working on, you know, cultivating more and more to a greater degree, is that I do think it's important for men to have other men in a close setting, right? It doesn't mean you want to just go out and vomit your shit on everybody,
right?
Or just, you know, go up and tell everybody about what's going on, because that's not really the best thing to do either. But I do think that, honestly, I think there's a loneliness epidemic right now, to be real. I think that's what's really going on. Is it's extremely isolating. It's difficult for men to be able to talk about it, especially if you are, you know, a man who is a producer too, right?
Yeah.
So a business person, an entrepreneur, like, not to say that it's not across the board with all men, because it is, but I do think that it gets even more heightened in that space, because you are in control of leading more people and impacting more people. And it's even more important to be the leader and to be bulletproof and to have things like handled. But that's where two things I think are needed. One is having that like close-knit group of dudes that you can let your guard down and get like real critical, loving feedback.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And also just like get it out. And Second, I think it's important for men to have practices that they can do for themselves where they don't necessarily have to talk and articulate something, but they can, that's why I love this breath work stuff too, because it just helps you move things through yourself. And then a third thing is that, I think men and women, everybody goes out and out into the work world, right? And you kind of put on your masculine when you go out there, right? So you're used to like doing things and getting stuff handled and being focused on what needs to get done. And what's hard to do is sometimes when you come back home, right, and you're both wanting more of a nurturing energy, right? But it's like, okay, well, like who gets to go first?
Right, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? And so creating, I guess, the openness in the conversation and creating just an avenue for both of you to get the recharge in the way that you need to, because I truly believe that there's nothing as restorative for a man as like his woman who gives him her feminine but allows him to be vulnerable as a man when he's safe at home.
Hundred
Because
percent.
then he'll kill everything for her. You know what I mean? Like he'll kick ass and take names and do everything and keep her safe, which is what she wants too, you know? So and then the flip side of that too is, we men, it can be so easy to just have, your woman come home or come to you, with all of the stuff that went on in her day and be in this heightened emotional state, or like, what do I think about this? Or, asking all these questions, like just dealing with the emotion that goes on it. And we go into this like, okay, let's fix it, because that's what we want to do. That's what we've been doing all day in our business, right? Let's fix problems, right? But the sexiest thing is to be able to just stand there and like listen, or to hold that space for your queen and give her the space to just go through that without needing to fix her, because she doesn't need to be fixed.
100%. That dude, this is huge. We could do a whole podcast on this.
This is like my favorite stuff to talk
No,
about,
I love
honestly.
this. I love this.
Well,
And so,
and you go back to, what you were talking about before, but honestly, to me, this is like the real meat and potatoes of everything. And I don't just mean like men and women and how they interact, but what I, to me, I look at all the areas of our life, like health, business, career, relationships, spirituality, all these kind of things. And ultimately, it's about like harmonizing these parts of you, right? The masculine and the feminine, like the yin and the yang inside of you, so that you can be like a badass man in equilibrium or a badass woman in equilibrium, but then step into these energies, I guess, consciously, like when you want to, right? So, yeah.
I love that. And I think you brought up such a good point. We're seeing so many more couples not getting along in the limited time that they have together. And look, I've been there too. I'm sure you have as well. Like
Totally.
both of our wives like work and kick ass and have their own businesses and do all that. And it's like we've all probably been there, whether it's to like a working couple or whatever, or a mom that's like ragged, exhausted from kids all day, and you come home and it's like, yeah, who wants to puke on the shit of the day first? And it's like it can become really, really nasty because both parties want to be heard, I think. But I think for men, and you tell me, and we could talk about this a little more, how can we feel more centered? Like for me, sometimes I would love just a guy friend, a dude, to be like, bro, I had so much shit in my business blow up today. Like this was rough. Any ideas here? Like just to feel heard. And then I think you can regain your strength in a sense and actually be there for your partner more. What do you feel like are some, I mean, is that situation real? Like have you seen that yourself?
Dude, I do think that that is real. I think it's something though that you have to cultivate, and again, I need to do a better job of cultivating it. And I think that men need that for a couple of reasons. One, you're so used to holding your shit together. And especially like when it comes to business, like it's just refreshing sometimes to hear that, hey, you're not the only person that doesn't always have, you know, a plus plus days.
Yeah.
So then you could just kind of go, all right, that was a day. I'm going to get back on the horse tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to get that from a man. I really do. You know, that's why men relate to the power of the brotherhood, you know, to sports movies, or sports, like to war movies, like to all this stuff, like where it's like going in a battle, it's like the brotherhood has your back. but we don't have that in the same way now, right?
Yes.
Like it's very much in a surfacey way. And I feel like the evolution of things is just that, you know, like both men and women are again calling for the expansion of us to kind of step into those next levels. I don't know if that's getting too, like, you know, I don't know what the word is, esoteric about it, but I agree 100% that like that is something that gets to be cultivated much more. And I don't know, maybe we should do something about it, Brock.
I agree. You know what we're gonna do, Joshua? We're gonna start like a nationwide club of dudes who just go once a week together to see a war movie. Just going out, like, see some like super over masculinated like war movie together, and we're gonna take a selfie and then go home and just be good. Like,
maybe that's all it is, you know? Maybe that's all we need, you know?
Yeah, I love it. But hey, I wanna go back to some our listeners always say with every episode, whoever we have on, like the pieces they really resonate with are the struggle, because, you know, we live in this social media world where pretty much everyone sees the highlight reels. By the way, you're not one of those. Like, I love how real your posts are and you open up and you're vulnerable, but like most people don't. And so I think I would love to hear about some of the struggles you've had, maybe going back to where your life was just a couple of years ago. Cause I know you had a transition where you got off the road, you were traveling, you were doing some stuff, and then kind of transitioning into your business. What was going on in life? I know there were some difficulties.
Oh man, there's been lots of downs. I feel like that. I mean, that's life, I guess. One of the most significant ones was maybe like 5 years ago. I was married previously. I'm now remarried and have my little daughter on the way, which I'm super excited about. She's going to pop out soon. But to be honest, like going through that divorce was like one of the hardest experiences I've ever had in my life. You know, I basically had the marriage implode. I had a job at the time while I had a side business, and I also got fired, which is the only time I've ever been fired from a job. So I lost like my main source of income while like right in the middle of the separation too. Uh-huh. And then I was struggling to like build my book consultancy at the time, which I know you and I did some work on later once that was more established. But yeah, dude, that was a dark freaking period. I don't know if I've ever had that much self-hatred, to be honest, you know? I don't know if I've ever been that dark where I had moments where I was like, you know, I could take my life right now because I am in so, so much pain. And, you know, I know you have a lot of runners here that are on your show, but it's interesting. That was actually when I decided that I was going to run my first ultra, which is really the only ultra I've ever done. But I needed that, you know, I needed like some purpose. I needed that physicality in my life. I needed the meditation, I guess, that I got from running and punishing my body over long distances. And it just helped me move the needle while I was pulling myself out of that. And I think dark things or challenging moments, they happen for all of us. Now I look back at that and I think it's like the biggest gift ever.
100%.
But perspective brings that, I guess.
Yes.
If you let it, right? If you let the experience, if you choose to let the experience serve you instead of limit you, then you'll be healed.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So true.
Yeah.
You guys can take nothing else. There's your value today. That's amazing. But we got more. So good. So good. Okay. So you and I had, when our paths crossed, we were both traveling like mad maniacs. I mean, what would you say? We were traveling probably 40 plus weeks a year. Like,
that was a lot.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Consulting, working on some different seminars and things like that. And I'm trying to think, like, when I left that, maybe just a little bit before you, or maybe we both had a couple hiatuses and then came back. But like, what was the transition for you? Because I know there's people listening that travel a ton for work, and maybe they're making super good money, but like, they're kind of effing miserable. Like, what was the transition for you where you're just like, I've had enough. Like, I am going to 100% do something different, make a change. What was your moment?
Yeah, no, for sure. So when I, you know, my wife and I got married, and not the first wife, but the second wife. And just being gone all the time and just missing so many life events, it really started to compound. You know, it's like you're making great money, and you're traveling and seeing all these cool places and, you know, meeting all these wonderful people. But it was hard because I'd be gone for 4 or 5 days at a time, and then I'd come back, and because there was just so much disconnection consistently, it was like my couple days at home, we'd mostly fight, right? I mean, not the entire time, but like there was just a lot of like fighting. Seemed like it was a common thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is how this is supposed to operate, or at least in my mind, right? And it just kept getting to this point where it's like, you know what, this is not a disconnect between like two people's compatibility. This is just that the lack of presence in each other's lives is creating more distance than good. And I don't know if there was like a specific line in the sand moment though, where it was like, oh, this like one experience made it go, but I knew after a while it was time. Like I feel like I get inklings. Like I think we all do. It's like, you know, when something's done, the deal is we just don't listen to ourselves very often, or we wait for a really long time until you have to do it. Right. So it's, I don't know. I probably knew 9 months, something like that, before I actually, you know, decided that I was really done. But I always think it's intelligent to have, you know, other things that you've got going on. You know, I always have a number of different, you know, businesses that I have going on too, so that, you know, in the event of a transition in one area of your life, you're still covered from a financial sense, you know. And I don't know, one of my businesses just exploded at probably about 6 months before I decided to pull the plug, and it just, everything kind of fell in place, and I was like, all right, here we go, let's just do this. Actually, you know what, I do remember one thing now that you say it. I kind of forgot about this. I started to get this weird sense, actually, maybe about 6 months before. I totally forgot that I had this, so thanks for pulling it out of me, Brock.
You're welcome.
I started to get this weird sense like 6 months before that I just started to feel like, if I'm dead in a year, am I going to regret being here?
Ooh.
Like it was strong. It was weird. And it was like, it wasn't just like, oh, I had it one time and that was that. But it kept coming up. It was weird. Well, I guess it wasn't weird. It was what it was supposed to be, but it just kept coming up over and over. And I was like, fuck it. Like, no, like I want to be there for my wife. I want to be there for my other businesses. I want to be there for my life, you know? And, I don't know, I guess. So yeah, that was the moment. Funny how you forget things, but
well, that's
a good question to ask yourself too, I guess.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say, that's a great question. Like, I hope everyone literally right now, if they're driving in their car or whatever, like pretending to work at their job and they're listening to this, like, I really hope everyone asks that because it's powerful. Like, if I were dead in a year, would I regret what I'm doing now? I would say, like, the vast majority of people probably be like, yeah, I need to change course. Like, this isn't what I want my life to be. So you started making changes. Now tell us about the business that kind of took off. And I know you've had like many successes. You helped me publish a best-selling book. Like, we can go on that, but like, what was the business that exploded and kind of what's been the life since then?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I've kind of been I've definitely been into online business and had different online businesses for like the last 8 years. And done a lot of different things in that space along the way, you know, everything from obviously the book consultancy to affiliate marketing, health and wellness business. But I got into the e-commerce space, right, where you're selling physical products online. And that company, you know, ended up doing really well. And so that was kind of the business that really had taken off, and created that opportunity to be able to, make that transition. So,
and what were you guys selling? Was it one product? Was it multiple products? What were you guys selling, or what are you still selling?
Yeah, for sure. So, multiple products. So, those are all in the like home security, home security space, and then also have a brand in the cell phone accessory space, and then I have an apparel brand as well. So kind of a mix of those things, although I've sold a bunch of different stuff online through e-commerce. Started off with like canvas, like painting, like wine canvas type stuff, but then evolved into those other aspects. So yeah, it's cool.
That's awesome. So like, let me ask you this, because this is so awesome to me. I think we truly, truly live in an era where there's just no excuses anymore. Like, it's like, spend a few hours, Google how to start an online store. It doesn't mean you're going to like crush it overnight, obviously, but like the ability for an average person to do it now, I think is unparalleled in our history. Like, I pinch myself every day with how long I waited because I made stupid ass excuses. But like, how did you, for people out there listening, they're like, that sounds cool. Like, I know there's Shopify and Squarespace and tools out there where I can start an online store, but like, how do I figure out what to sell? Like, did you have that question, or like, how did you figure out what products you wanted to start moving?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think everybody has that question when they get into it. You know, my background is really in Shopify. That's basically what I've always done. I don't have, I never dove into the Amazon space just because I didn't really care for the model. I felt like they had too much control, and I like to be in charge. I like to have the ability to control the whole process, the whole sales process and follow-up process. So Shopify was definitely more attractive to me in that route. But I mean, God, there's millions of winning products, honestly. You know, there really are. Amazon is a good place to look at products too, right? Just to see what's selling. And then a good question to ask yourself is, okay, cool. Like, what is it about that that is selling that people like? Go and read the reviews, right? And see what people say they like and what people don't like. And then you can make an iteration of that same product based on the feedback from all those people that have already left reviews, because you already know it sells, you know, you already know that they want this type of product, right? But everybody hates the quality of it, or they hate that, you know, this one thing didn't do whatever, right? So honestly, there's a ton of ways to get insight and information on what is selling and what's not and why and how you can make it better. Scroll through your Facebook feed. Like, you see products advertised there all the time, right? And go read the comments there too. Like, what do people like? What do people not like about that product? Is it solving a pain? You know, like, what is it solving a big problem? And I think the bigger the problem, the better, in my mind, but you can be super niche with it as well. It doesn't have to be, a product that serves millions of people. It could be a product that serves 2,000 people, but it's a real premium product, and they're going to be diehard customers for life. So, yeah, it's amazing, honestly. I think that the fact that you can put up ads like we do and have 30, 40, 50, 100, a million people see that thing with really not that much spend based on how many people would see it. It's
Oh,
crazy, when you
absolutely.
think about how many networking events you would have to go to or how many trade shows to like pitch 35,000 people on this thing just to show it to them. It's crazy. You can do that. You can do that fast on Facebook or Instagram.
Oh yeah, it's so undervalued still, at least in this current year, and that's obviously going to change at some point. They'll raise their price. It's just like Google AdWords eventually.
They've already gone way up.
Yeah, big
But
time.
no, it's a there's still lots of space though. I think that, it's not like these things are gonna go away. There's always gonna be, now we're addicted to social media, so it's just gonna be some other platform, even if it's not Facebook. It's like so much stuff is moving to Instagram now, right? With a different age group. And it's not going anywhere. Wherever the people's eyes are, that's where the advertising is gonna be. So
Exactly. So for people out there considering starting a side hustle or like really deciding to do something different, researching a specific product or just doing it, like what advice would you have for those types of people, like considering this right now as they're listening?
yeah. In terms of product research or like getting started, or what do you mean?
Just getting
All the
started,
above?
like, people that are scared, I guess. I mean, I don't, there's a million excuses I think people make, most of which are stupid and unwarranted, but like, I don't know. I mean, you and I both were there at one point. Like, we had our own excuses, whether it was, I don't have enough time to put into it, or I don't have capital to start. Like, what do you think holds most people back? Maybe that's the better question.
I think what holds most people back is that they the fear of failing. Like that's it. And they're worried about trying something or putting money into something because they're afraid that they'll fail. And we all have this. Like I have it still as well. So it's not like it goes away necessarily. But the thing to do is to take a step towards it, right? So if you're interested in, maybe having a product-based business, an e-commerce style business, then go join other Facebook groups that, talk about that kind of stuff, right? Go to Shopify and start going through some of their blog articles to start to understand what this model looks like. Start following some influencers on Instagram or Facebook that talk about this to see what this model is even like. Like, do you want to sell physical products? Do you want to go through this process of, manufacturing or labeling or drop shipping a product, and is that the kind of business that works for you? Or is there another type of online business that would maybe work better for you? I don't know. Do you love to work more directly and more closely with people? Would it serve you better to have some sort of like coaching or consulting business, which, I have one of those as well. Or is it better to promote other people's products that are already there with like affiliate marketing? I do that too. So they all fit different buckets, I guess. And I think a good question to ask yourself is like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, th there's a million types of online businesses out there, and I like a lot of them, but I'm not really as married to the model as much as I'm married to which model is aligned to me to help me live the life that I want and make the impact that I want to make. So, for example, like it was really fun, the process of like building, an e-commerce company to doing multiple millions of dollars. But after a while, there was like this separation between myself and the customers that I missed, like from doing consulting with, people like you, right? For the book co consultancy. Or even when we were traveling a bunch together, right? That face-to-face interaction, like the humanness of it started to have a little bit of distance, which was bothering me, right? So then my business partner and I decided we wanted to help other people do more of what we were doing and having more of a consultancy and an agency so that we could have more of that human interaction again. But it really comes down to like, what do you want? Like, what lights you up? Because if you don't want to talk to people and you don't want to deal with them, or that's not your thing, then maybe that's not the best avenue for you either, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So, I think you got to think about what works for you.
I remember one of the, I don't know, I think I saw a post that you had sometime in this last year. I don't remember when exactly, but it was kind of like, I just respected it so much because you wanted to create a business that would, you know, be functional for your lifestyle. Like, you wanted to ski a lot. Like, you wanted to spend more time with your wife and get ready for baby and still be able to make an impact. And, I mean, there were some days I was like, I don't know, I was working my ass off and I'd see you like on a Facebook Live on the ski hill. And I'm like, I hate this guy, but like, I want to be there and do the same thing. Like, it's so inspiring. So, you know, what do you feel like is next for you in this next year? And, you know, what are some of the things that are on your radar?
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I mean, I would always say like, build, you know, do the type of business that's going to support the kind of life that you want. The worst thing that I think that you could do is to go and build this monstrosity of a business that never gives you the lifestyle you want. And I see so many people do that. And there are some entrepreneurs that need that, by the way, like that's their thing. And so it is the right thing for a lot of people. It really is, you know? So that's why I say know thyself, because I just knew from the start that, like, I mean, I used to be a ski patroller and do avalanche control, and I really love skiing. I just hate getting paid $10 an hour. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then I'm like, all right, well, how do I still ski 100 days a year, but actually make good money, right? So that's why I was like, oh, online business, that would make it work, right?
Yeah.
Owning a restaurant where I had to be there every day didn't seem like that would do it. You know, I would still have to be there on powder days. So, yeah, so I guess, things that are coming up though, you know, I mean, I'm super excited for to be a father. I guess I technically already am, right? She's just in the womb, but I'm super excited to meet my daughter. And, we got some plans to go travel with the new baby.
Do you have a name picked out yet?
I do, but I'm not going to tell you on the podcast.
Okay. Deal. We'll wait. Wait, what's the due date again?
February 5th.
Okay, awesome. We'll check back for 5th. An update. Okay, so it's some travel with the baby, and what else?
Yeah, travel with the baby, ski season coming up. We just had a new apparel brand that's launched. It's called Unemployed Apparel. Super excited about it. It's lifestyle apparel for economy creators. So lifestyle apparel for artists, entrepreneurs, musicians. Anybody who dubs themselves as unemployed because they create their own economy and create economy for other people as well, you know, because if you are an entrepreneur, you're the one who starts it. You technically are unemployed because you are the one who creates jobs for other people. And so the brand is really built around honoring that story, and those people who fit in that bucket, like I said, you know, from artists to musicians to painters to entrepreneurs. So that's super fun. And our consultancy, just continuing to grow that, you know, for people that are wanting help in growing their own online businesses. But yeah, it's just stepping into fatherhood is the big thing, and always going deeper into, you know, understanding myself and how I can make a larger impact in the world. And honestly, that's one of the cool things that we wanted to do with Unemployed as well, because a portion of the profits there go back to young entrepreneur initiatives. So we're kind of handing the torch to the next generation, you know, when you support the company that way, which is pretty cool.
I love it. So cool. So yeah, let's start that guys war movie club. And dude, if anything, this has been so good just to catch up, like, selfishly. I know our listeners have gotten tons of value from this session. If you guys haven't followed Joshua, like, please do. And we'll have some links to his Facebook, his Instagram, and everything he's got going with his multiple companies. But, you know, what's the best place, Joshua, for people to say hello or get in touch with you? What do you prefer?
Yeah, probably Instagram is good. So just follow me at Joshua J, the letter J, Sprague. So JoshuaJSprague over on Instagram, or you guys can connect with me on Facebook as well. So I think it's facebook.com/Joshua Sprague, maybe. I don't remember what it is, something like that. You'll find me.
Awesome. No, I'm serious, you guys. Like, follow his content. It's the most uplifting stuff you'll see in, you know, this world of so much negativity and BS. So, Joshua, this has been amazing, man. It's really, really ridiculous. We only live like 90 minutes away and we don't. So we're going to change that. Like, I'm going to come see you. Yeah. So thank you so much, my man, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
And thank you guys for listening so much, and we'll catch everyone on the next episode. Peace.
So that is a wrap, my friends. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I know I had a blast and learned a lot. I would love to hear what your biggest aha moments or takeaways from the episode were. So please feel free to send me a message on social. You guys can find me on Instagram at TheBrockCannon. And I would love to hear your feedback on what you liked most and or any questions that you have for myself or Joshua. And I hope you guys have connected with him as well as soon as you get off of listening to this or out of your car, wherever you are. So anyways, be great. Have an awesome day, you guys, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.